Join the World Arts Foundation and KBOO Radio as we pay homage to the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's the 35th anniversary of Keep Alive the Dream, Monday, January the 20th from 11 to 6:30 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center. This year, we will be joined by international opera star Angela Brown and straight from America's Got Talent, Danielle Damon. That's Monday, January the 20th from 11 to 6:30 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center at 7600 Northeast Gleason. Or listen live on KBOO Radio or view it on Open Signal Community Television.
Join us on Tuesday, January 21st for Hindsight 2020, debriefing the last 3 years. A day of special programming looking back at the Trump regime, what happened, why, and the repercussions domestically and internationally. We'll focus on national policy, foreign policy, privacy and surveillance, policing, immigration, labor rights, confronting white nationalism, the environment, and much more. Again, that's Hindsight 2020, debriefing the last 3 years on Tuesday, January 21st from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. here on your community radio, KBOO Portland.
We will not bow down to racism.
We will not bow down to
injustice.
We will not bow down to
exploitation. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand.
Now this is time for free your mind and your soul.
Opportunity, you in jeopardy. Yo, yo, set me free, don't end me, let me be.
I'm out here for freedom, I got the heat in case you need them. A straight soldier, ain't nobody told ya.
We've been together since I created border. The African border celebration is in order.
My only chance of being free is to fly within me, and it's illegal to kill a freaking eagle. A bird is never more important than my people. I guess we didn't need them, so I took away his freedom.
Telling us these lies, but and you're listening to The Struggle. It's Friday night. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, Olivia. What's up?
Not much. Just got off work. I'm a working woman.
I'm very proud of you.
I'm a worker. How about you? How are you?
I'm okay, but I caught this cold that a lot of other people got, so I'm coughing a little bit, so Olivia won't be the only one coughing this week.
No, and actually, Liz is coughing more than me. I'm very healthy right now.
Congratulations.
Sis, yeah, thank
you. You did it.
I did it. I cured CF. Not for long with climate degradation, but
CF is cystic fibrosis. Olivia has it and is fighting.
And it's not cured.
And that's why we don't press the cough button from week to week on The Struggle, because you need to hear in real time.
My struggle.
That's right.
The struggle. That's my struggle on The Struggle.
Yes.
And if you don't like it, then turn it off.
That's it.
Well, we have plenty of listeners. Stay tuned. We don't need you.
No, we need every listener. Please don't turn your dials.
Don't turn your dials.
Okay, so
what's going on?
I want to say thank you again to everybody who was in the PSEF Coalition, the Portland Clean Energy Fund. The first round of monies are going to be going out. To catch people up on what the Portland Clean Energy Fund is, I just want to go to the website and let people hear what the campaign that now is in effect says about itself. This is from the Portland Clean Energy Fund website.
The Portland Clean Energy Fund is a 1% business license surcharge, only on companies that make over $1 billion a year. Small, locally owned businesses don't make $1 billion a year, so they won't be affected. The money from this 1% surcharge will feed into a fund that will produce over $30 million a year to benefit our communities living on the front lines of climate change. 40 to 60% of the funds raised will go to renewable energy and energy efficiency housing upgrades, like solar panels on affordable housing, and weatherization for low-income renters to reduce the burden of high utility costs. 20 to 25% of the fund will go to job training and apprenticeship programs for people traditionally locked out of living wage jobs. And 10 to 15% will go to regenerative agriculture, like community gardens and tree planting. Community organizations would access the funds by submitting proposals to the City of Portland, a 9-person committee that represents the diversity of Portland's people, places, and skills will review applications and send recommendations to Portland City Council for approval.
Okay, so yeah, I just wanted people to know what is coming, because we were successful. So a lot of people put in a lot of hard work. And since then, there's been an update. I just want people to know about this, that there were already some amendments, and there are several companies that are not going to be paying in. That was like an update in December. And that day, one of the people who were the most active in the campaign, and Oriana Magnera is one of the people who is just raising this issue that there probably shouldn't have been companies that were left out or that were exempt from paying in.
Absolutely not.
So that's less money that's going to go in. And this is the cover story on the Willamette this week. So I just wanted to flag that to people, that that's the update since we have been victorious. And now we're going to see how the rollout looks like. This is $60 million a year that nonprofit organizations are going to be able to apply for, writing proposals to the city, like you heard. And we're going to see what the process of retrofitting looks like and in investing in communities. I'm not sure, but let's see.
Yeah, and it says here 1/5 of the money must go to groups with a history of working with economically disadvantaged Portlanders. All workers must be paid no less than 1.8 times the minimum wage. And so this is implementing, I feel like, a lot of the, I mean, it's kind of like a smaller version, a microcosm of what people imagine the Green New Deal could put into effect nationally. I definitely, when I look at the numbers, mm-hmm. I get frustrated because I know that we just could do so much more. A 1% tax on companies that make more than $1 billion, like, those companies could be giving up a lot more. And we talk about this on the show every single week, but we are rapidly getting closer. I mean, not rapidly getting closer, like, there are communities right now who are experiencing the brunt of climate change, whose entire, Australia right now, like, whose entire communities and lives and ecosystems and the animals that surround them are being killed and destroyed. There are people whose infrastructure has been damaged to an almost irreversible point. Puerto Rico was just hit by another earthquake, or by an earthquake which is the largest in the century, on the heels of the destruction that was already caused in the wake of Hurricane Maria, and the lack of response on the part of the U.S. government, and the lack of support and, like, for the people who were most affected by it. Anyway, that's all to say, when I see these numbers, it's always frustrating because we need to be moving so much faster and be treating this in a way that is filled with so much deep urgency. And I do appreciate that this is very, like, workers centered, because that is something that needs to be at the forefront of talking about a transformation into a world where we are energy efficient, where we're trying to reverse the damage of climate change, or we're trying to use renewable energy, is, like, creating systems that include workers and building that and making sure that people are supported as we embark on this development to make our world a healthier, safer, like, inhabitable place. So I appreciate that aspect of it. And yeah, a lot of...
It also opens the door to the call of taxing the rich, that it was so popular and passed so overwhelmingly, I think says something about people's willingness to tax the rich.
Because
so we should keep that in mind, so that when... people are demanding more, the door is already open, and we know that the sentiment is with us.
Yeah, that's definitely something I think that people, especially in our community, are becoming more and more and more open to, like, people understanding, people kind of moving away, I feel like, from this notion that's inhabited a lot of liberal and progressive politics over the last, like, couple decades maybe, of this idea of awareness and charity, and always trying to raise awareness and raise money and come together, which is important in its own way. And I think in this time, a lot of people on the ground are shifting to this understanding that the money is already there. So now we have the universal preschool campaign in Oregon, which is aiming to tax big businesses. We have this, and we have a few other campaigns in the last couple of years in Oregon that have aimed to take small amounts of money from these big businesses, and understanding that the money is there, and that these people, and that it's your obligation to pay into these things if you have the money at all, which you absolutely shouldn't, because billionaire people and entities shouldn't exist.
Hot take. Olivia Pace, they shouldn't exist.
If you make over $1 billion, you should probably just not be alive anymore, but that's a whole different thing.
We can hear the guillotine in the background. Olivia, you're
the real, what?
The guillotine in the background being sharpened. Thank you for...
I'm sharpening it right now.
Thank you for your hot take.
You're welcome.
So there's a report from the event that we... talked about last week, the Beyond 2020, that was by Pop Mob, Popular Mobilization, a panel that they did at PICA, Portland.
They did a PICA in Portland.
Portland Institute of Contemporary art. Oh yeah, there's a lot of peas.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Oh, well, thank goodness that Carol our mics are so good, so that the peas are not popping in the ears of all of our listeners.
Do you like this ASMR?
I was gonna say, do you like that we have enough support from community that our mics are not fried? Thanks to everyone who donated during the holiday drive. Ooh. Yeah, we can use as many peas as we want.
Mic the people.
Oh, but so that was really well attended.
Wonderful.
It was Pop Mob, Rose City Antifa, Jobs with Justice, Portland DSA, mm-hmm. and Interfaith Justice Coalition, represented by Rabbi Deborah Kolodny.
Yes, Deborah.
Radical queer rabbi in Portland. And they were speaking about a lot of the issues around the need to build strong networks outside of a traditional sort of elections framework. So rather than people just engaging with trying to get someone elected to do the job, showing a path forward of how people can get politically active, with a strong emphasis on fighting the right, the far right, who also thinks beyond elections and is organizing people to white supremacist organizations all the time. Check in on young white men in your life and make sure that they have not been recruited to the Proud Boys or Patriot Prayer, because they are reaching out.
They're knocking.
So
don't answer.
This was an event to try to help people think about how we can be engaging so that all of our energy is not on the upcoming elections. And there are going to be more elections than we thought, because sadly Commissioner Nick Fish passed away, and there are a lot of people who are slated to run for his seat on the city council. So that's going to be something that is going to be in people's minds a lot more in the immediate. So
yeah, who's slated to run?
I know that Casey Jama is thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So Casey Jama, friend to the show, please think about it. You got some support from Olivia and Alyssa. Casey Jama was very important in getting the Joint Terrorism Task Force, or getting Portland out of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, which is a big victory for black people in particular in Portland, who have been over-policed and called gang members when they're not in Portland for a long time. He's the executive director of Unite Oregon. And please, I know that a lot of people are saying that they're going to wait to officially announce or roll out their campaign until after the commissioner who passed away funeral. So we're going to see. But it's like, I think it's like 9 or 10 people who are in the running now. So people are going to be paying a lot more attention to that.
Yeah.
That's on top of the mayoral race. So yes, pay attention and familiarize yourself with the candidates, make informed choices, but also be thinking about how to do community defense, keeping community safe and thriving. So that's my little report back from that event. It was like about 200 people. And
wonderful.
It was like, sitting on the floor because there weren't even enough seats in the space. And over a dozen organizations tabled. And
that's so good.
Yeah. So we've got some good stuff going.
Yeah. Please pay. I know this isn't like the takeaway, but please pay attention to, if you're engaged in national politics and who is running, like, you should be 10 times more engaged in your local politics. And that, because right now the election is like in a really scary place. There are a group of candidates running as Democrats who are like viewed as being really progressive for the most part, and are more progressive than those who were running last year. Trump is maybe impeached soon, probably won't be impeached, or probably won't be removed, has been impeached, maybe removed, probably won't be, is like coming off of like all this warmongering with Iran, and whether or not he's removed from office can still run for office. And so everything is like very confusing and convoluted and scary and like disgusting in that realm. And while like we do need to move beyond 2020, if you're able to like keep track and keep up and stay engaged with your local elections, that is where you see the people who actually do have like a lot of the time more of a direct implication on the way that you're living and on what's happening to your community day to day. And that's something we need to have an understanding of. If you really are interested in building these strong communities, which are going to be integral to like building a strong political left that's going to be able to face the onslaught of oppression and fear-mongering and continued environmental degradation that we're going to be experiencing in the years and decades to come, especially because whether or not like Trump wins a national election, the right is going to continue to feel emboldened because they're growing and have been emboldened in a really significant way, whether or not we have a Republican in any specific office or not.
Yeah, so people would do well to learn how to protect themselves against the fascist culture. So that's where a lot of the good information from Rosalie Antifa came in. And one of the topics that kept coming up, because people were responding to the criticism, is people who block up, you know, like people who do not want to show their face and who want to use the block as a tactic are often maligned by some people who we hope to be on our side. So I hope that everyone who came was able to better understand, if they were on the fence at all, why some people feel like they can't show their faces, and that it's an acceptable way to resist collectively. And one of the members who was on the panel was covering their face at the time and still had something to say. And I thought that that was important to show that even more mainstream organizations like the DSA, Jobs with Justice, and some of the interfaith, you know, like that they were able to make a clear, full-throated defense of the Black Bloc as a tactic. It's going to be important for people to understand that as more people are coming to consciousness around some of this stuff. If you want to fight the far right, like this is one of the ways that people who know what they're doing do it.
Well,
so
yeah, and
they look more open-minded.
Hope that those people can also develop an understanding that it is more damaging to your cause, to whatever you're hoping for, to malign people who are on your side. And like, whether or not you agree with their tactics wholeheartedly, like there is a lot to say about a united front. And when we attack each other publicly, whether or not you agree with somebody's tactics, when you're attacking people publicly who are on your side, you create an opening for all of the things that you're trying to fight. And it's pretty easy at this point to find divides on the left to like wiggle into and create more divisive and more stratification, and because we're at a point where we're like forming more and more what what politics we are actually fighting for and what the left actually looks like in a period where like the empire is collapsing and capitalism is failing, and it's a do or die situation. That's not to say that we should be not openly criticizing Democratic candidates who are going to continue to allow capitalism to grow and thrive and still call themselves progressive, but rather like people in our community, people on the streets, people that we're organizing next to, people who are genuinely on your side, who are living in the same kind of conditions and facing the same things as you would do well to get to know them better and to like have a discussion with them before publicly calling them out or publicly maligning them.
And how good for us that we get to be one of the ways that people enter into that sphere just by tuning into KBOO and
the people.
Yeah, and hearing your hot takes, Olivia.
Thank you. Do you like my hot takes?
I love your hot takes.
Oh, we're coughing so much.
Everybody does. Yeah, please. Everybody. Again, we're sick.
Sick.
Okay. Olivia has cystic fibrosis. I have a cold. You're going to be hearing some coughing for the next half an hour. Sorry about it. We're not pressing the cough button. Work with us. Thanks a lot. Something else coming up that I want people to know about is the Socialists of Color happy hour. DSA nationally has the Afro-Socialist and Socialists of Color caucus. And in Portland, what a sad superlative this is, but the whitest major city
in America.
In America needs this desperately. So from them, they say, come hang out with fellow people of color to strategize how to build POC power within our chapter and in the city. That's going to be at the IWW 2249 East Burnside. And this is Tuesday coming up, January 14th at 8:00. So if you work and you want to get involved, and sometimes things are a little bit early, this is late. It's starting at 8:00. So, so please come. Me and Olivia are going to try to be there. So we'll see y'all there.
Please come. You don't understand the need there is for more black baddie women of women of color.
You gotta say what
Marxist.
A baddie. You have to say what a baddie
is. A baddie is somebody who she's getting her look together. She's just out here to have fun.
Oh.
She might be a little maybe fast, promiscuous, but
that's not your business.
That's not your business. And she's a Marxist. Oh. She's a real baddie.
Oh.
She's probably a Marxist. Anyway, come. We need you there. Link up. Link up socialist baddies.
Yeah. And I want people to know that this isn't going to be like a typical meeting where, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit procedural and sometimes people don't know how to plug into that. Like sometimes when people come to a general meeting, and there is a general meeting this Sunday at SEIU 503, so people should come to that too. But this is just a happy hour. It's pretty like low stakes. So for people of color who don't have enough socialists in their lives, want to connect, come say what's up. And again, that's this Tuesday coming up, January 14th at 8 p.m. at the IWW House, the Industrial Workers of the World, at 2249 East Burnside Street. So that's what I got. Is there something happening in the next week that you want people to know about?
I haven't found a lot, but I found something interesting at the Portland Art Museum. It's called Police Violence, White Supremacy, and How It Affects Your Brain.
Oh.
Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen and people of the world, my non-binary royalty, I can't find the dang thing. So I'm typing it into my phone. And I'm gonna find it. It's at the Portland Art Museum, and we're just having a great time.
Portland Art Museum, they've been supporting a lot of stuff that Don't Shoot Portland has been doing for a long time. So, thank you to the Portland Art Museum for not being an exclusive space, which like in other cities, like a lot of Black Lives Matter groups or social justice groups have not been able to depend on their city's art museums or art communities for support, but like they've been pretty decent here.
No, it's wonderful. They gotta keep doing it. Treat their workers well, include Don't Shoot Portland, continue to do that, and treat their workers better, and then we'll be good.
Why you look for that?
I found it.
Okay, go.
I'm here.
Go.
Police Violence, White Supremacy, and How It Affects Your Brain, Portland Art Museum. It's tomorrow. Today's today. Tomorrow's tomorrow. It's at 11 a.m. join us for the final installment of our residency at PAM. this programming is in partnership with OHSU's Northwest Noggin Neuroscience Outreach Group, Growing in Networks, Police Violence, White Supremacy, and How It Affects Your Brain, which will take place at the Portland Art Museum. oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Don't say sorry.
Oh my gosh, my life's falling apart. Anyway, this just sounds like a really interesting event. I think it's amazing that it's being held in like an art-based space. And while I feel like there could be a critique here that this is like individualistic, this is extreme. Like, this is obviously extremely political, and it's important for us to have an understanding of how the things that we're up against are affecting us, like mentally and emotionally, so that we can continue to be resilient in, like, as we go to battle against the violence that we're facing every day.
Right.
Yeah. So that event's being hosted by Don't Shoot Portland, Social Change Matters, Reclaim MLK, and PDX Civil Rights, formerly the Burger Barn.
Great. And again, what time tomorrow? I know today's today, tomorrow's tomorrow.
Today's today, tomorrow's tomorrow, and tomorrow it will be at 11 in the morning.
Thank you. Great.
Thanks for bearing with me.
So also, Secrets of a Successful Organizer, they're doing their 6-hour workshop with lunch at the Portland Association of Teachers. That's next Saturday, January 18th, 9 to 4. So if you want to attend that, you need to reach out to Labor Notes. They're the presenting organization, and it's going to be led by Mark Brenner, who's the co-author of the book that of the same name, Secrets of a Successful Organizer, that distills generations of know-how into accessible lessons, Secrets of a Successful Organizer, from Labor Notes. So this is people who want to learn the skills of organizing their workplace, because surprise, surprise, right? A lot of bosses take advantage of workers' ignorance around their own rights to organize and to demand better working conditions. So this is an event that's meant to help educate people on that. If you're already in a union, it will help to give you skills to be able to electrify what is already happening and get more militancy from your coworkers. Mm-hmm. So again, that's Mark Brenner and Labor Notes, Secrets of a Successful Organizer training next Saturday, January 18th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Teachers Union, the Portland Association of Teachers.
Wonderful. I have another event here. It is another Don't Shoot Portland event. This is Wednesday, January 15th. 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. It is the soft opening for the Don't Shoot PDX Center for Advocacy and Community Involvement. Don't Shoot Portland is continuing their work to liberate social outreach in the city of Portland and the surrounding areas for people affected by state violence and other forms of discrimination and injustice. In the last year, they have transitioned from an initial location, and now they are moving into this new space, which is at 18 Northeast Killingsworth, and are going to be able to have more space, have more people, and to do their work more effectively. It will help them streamline appointments, events, and overall, and better communicate overall with the community, doing the amazing work that they do to help marginalized people, specifically poor Black people in our community. And we'll make their work more consistent and effective. So if you would like to go support them, go and donate some money, go and see this new space for the Center for Advocacy and Community Involvement. The soft opening is at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, January 15th. Again, that's 18 Northeast Killingsworth.
Right next door to DCBC. Yeah, Dismantle Change Build Center. And they've got an event happening this weekend as well. So the Care Not Cops campaign. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while since we talked about the Care Not Cops campaign on the show. But just to catch people up, the basic premise is that we want to limit how much police are involved with people who are making calls for help, that because of the police's record with actually not helping people and being under Department of Justice investigation for just how much they don't help and actually kill people who are having mental health crises, the Care Not Cops Coalition is calling on supporters to volunteer. It's going to be an info session this Sunday at noon at the DCBC. That's right next door, 14 Northeast Killingsworth. Mm-hmm. Again, that's this Sunday at noon. So people who want to learn more and who want to commit themselves to doing something about the over-policing in our communities and how we can create alternative structures that are actually meant to keep people safe. Oh, twin coughs. Wow. That's one way to do it. So
that's one way to do it.
Thank you to everybody with Care Not Cops for continuing this work. This is like something that I think will make the reverberations much more wide than just the group that we're in, because now we've got people in city council who are putting forward resolutions to do exactly the work that Care Not Cops put forward in the first place, to limit how much police are getting called into people's emergency situations. So this is a great step forward. So for people who want to get involved with that, Care Not Cops volunteer info session this Sunday at noon to 1 at DCBC, the Dismantle Change Build Center.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This isn't an event, but it's just something I want to shout out on the show and just speak out about. There is
Please speak out, Olivia.
Speak out. There was news yesterday that Yolanda Carr, who was the mother of a Tatiana Jefferson, who was killed on October 12th in Fort Worth, Texas, by a police officer who shot her point blank through her window when she was playing video games with her nephew. Her mother, who Tatiana was the caretaker of, passed away due to the health complications that Tatiana was attending to a few days ago. let me see if I can find the exact date. But I mean, this just speaks to the like a small way that over policing and just the flagrant ridiculous priorities behavior like structure of policing in our society, the existence of policing in our society, how the existence of policing in our society affects our communities and takes people away needlessly who only need help. And now this woman has passed, and I'm sure losing her daughter did not serve her health in any way, and obviously
she was
degraded
the
it because
taking her, care of her
daughter was taking care of her. So yeah, I just wanted to give voice to that name that we talked about, Tatiana, on the show in October when it happened. She went by Tay. Neighbor asked or called the police with the intent to have them do a welfare check because she was home, but her door was open. This neighbor was genuinely worried that something might be wrong with her because he knew that her mother was sick. She was playing video games with her nephew. Everything was fine. The neighbor was mistaken. She heard somebody outside the house, thought that maybe somebody was trying to break in, thought something dangerous might have been going on. She had a gun. She went into the other room, stood by the window. The police saw her, saw the gun that she was not even holding, and shot her through the window in less than 5 seconds. Didn't announce themselves, screamed into the window and shot her, and she was killed. So rest in peace to her and her mother. This is why we have to keep showing up for this and pushing forward and learning how to defend ourselves. And I mean, I just think about all the situations where people have been killed by the police, where it's not our fault, but if somebody had been around who had the courage, the strength, the knowledge, the tools
yeah.
to intervene in these situations, then there would be no need yeah. to call somebody with a gun who has no interest in protecting you.
And if a coalition like Care Not Cops mm-hmm. was successful in Fort Worth, Texas, mm-hmm. that call wouldn't have been deployed to a cop.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been given out to someone else who is a mental health professional that actually does know how to do a mm-hmm. wellness check and would not kill anybody. So that's one thing to consider, that something like this could very easily has already happened in Portland. And I think one more reason why a coalition like Care Not Cops should be supported. So
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Please agree with me on this too.
Okay. I'm ready.
Clark College staff are going out on strike. Are ready to like bring on community support. So they reached out to Jobs with Justice at our steering committee on Monday. So please support. I know it's out of the way for some people, but if you, like so many of us, mm-hmm. get your jollies by going out and supporting strike lines.
My jollies, Lord Jesus.
Up in Vancouver at Clark College, 1933 Fort Vancouver Way. This is this Monday coming up, January 13th. There's going to be a strike rally from 5 to 6. So people who want to come up, I'm going to be up there. Jobs of Justice will be out there with our banners. Come protest with us to support staff at Clark College. There's less than 1 week of bargaining left for the management to agree to a fair contract. Their deadline is this Friday. So they're getting ready already. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, all pressure on them. On the management team at Clark College to agree to a fair contract. Whenever workers are brave enough to come together and fight back, I think that they should always be supported. Don't you agree, Olivia?
No. Workers should not be supported. Today, a friend of, this is a quick anecdote, I think our listeners will enjoy. Today.
So presumptive.
Today, one of our friends, who is my coworker, who is also a preschool teacher, told me that she was explaining to one of her children that that child was wasting toilet paper, and because this child cares a lot about trees, and she was explaining how the toilet paper were trees and how the child shouldn't waste them. And then another child chimed in and said, who's three, and said, yeah, and workers made that toilet paper and they worked really hard on that, so you shouldn't waste it.
A three-year-old.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, wonderful.
Okay, great.
Anyway, and then another thing.
Maybe that three-year-old's mother is a baddie.
Baddie. She's promiscuous, but it's none of your business. And she's teaching her daughter about the working class. So I don't know if she's promiscuous. Nobody from my job called me. Anyway, oh my God.
It's not your business, Olivia.
And it's not your business. It's so if you call me, I won't answer. Anyway, I heard the statistic on Democracy Now! This morning that like really messed me up in the head. It like shook me at whenever I was up 8 a.m. A new study suggests that raising the minimum wage by $1 an hour could save thousands of people from dying by suicide each year. Mm-hmm. And that if the minimum wage had been at least $2 an hour higher, nearly 60,000 lives could have been saved between 1990 and 2015. And they go on to note, suicide is now the second leading cause of death in the United States among children and youth ages 10 to 24. Second leading cause, with the suicide rate among Black youth rising faster than any other racial group. People talk about how, I don't know, people make arguments about like why people in fast food, like it's just a starting job and they deserve it. And if you're not willing to do this kind of work, then you're gonna have to work your way up. And when people see people on the street and turn their heads and like just spit on them, essentially, people are dying. Like the second leading cause of death is being bolstered by the fact that we can't give people enough money to get their literal basic needs met. Not just the people are dying because they can't afford to take care of themselves, but dying because they can't stand. Mm-hmm. They are surviving on their own. Yeah. They can't stand to the lives that they're living, and they can't stand to continue these lives.
I know that. I've been asked not to talk about whenever trans women kill themselves, mm-hmm. because suicide is contagious. Mm-hmm. You know, so sometimes when people hear about it, mm-hmm. it can increase the chances of mm-hmm. someone who is thinking about it to do it. So mm-hmm. I don't talk about it that often on the show, even though I'm thinking about it often. Mm-hmm. But this statistic is very important, and I think it hit not just you, also me. Mm-hmm. It hit heavy. Suicide is the second cause of death in mm-hmm. this country, and if it isn't taken up seriously, mm-hmm. and it isn't, right? To me, this is something that should trigger a national emergency, mm-hmm. and should make us be more introspective about why is it that so many people live in despair and feel mm-hmm. like this is their only option, that it's the second yeah. cause of death. You just don't hear that enough, and mm-hmm. I'm glad that it was something that made the headlines on Democracy Now! This week. I don't feel good about trying to convince people that things are going to get better. If we are to go by how things have been going. Things are bad. So raise the minimum wage. That's alleviation. That makes it less likely that people are going to feel that kind of despair. Raise the minimum wage.
Suicide is contagious, and it will be so long as the conditions continue to be the same. We can't tell people to try harder when nobody's trying for them.
Right. There's an event happening next Saturday as well. This is coming from the Hands Off Venezuela Coalition. They're going to be speaking particularly about sanctions and how sanctions themselves are wonderful. An act of warfare, and they're not this innocuous mm-hmm. Or diplomatic thing that sometimes I know people understand them to me. They say, you slap a sanction on a country mm-hmm. and you're doing the right thing. And of course, when comparing that to an outright assassination, which is what the leader of this country just did last mm-hmm. week, it's why we were out in the plaza and why we're likely to go out again. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. The Hands Off Venezuela Coalition is doing an event to educate people specifically about how sanctions work and how they also instill desperation of people in other parts of the world and lead to death. So that's going to be at the Peace House, which is I think the best venue in town is the Peace House. If you're in an organization and you want a space, I think that is the best one. I really like it in there. That's at 2116 Northeast 18th Avenue here in Portland. Sanctions Kill by the Hands Off Venezuela Coalition in Portland. So yeah. That's something that's happening.
Something people will really need to begin to be able to understand.
Yeah.
In many different ways that America exercises violence even when we are not actively at war.
Because it's not the people in high ranking positions and that mm-hmm. are the rich and the elite in whatever country we're targeting. It's going to be the poor people there first. So sanctions are not innocuous. They're not harmless at all.
Which is why we show our support for the people under these governments. And do not get caught up in the characters and the powers who are running them, which is sometimes difficult to parse out, especially because of the way, because all the propaganda and all of the things that we've been hearing our entire life positions us as being somehow connected to the people who run our country and them being connected to us. But we are always going to have a lot more common, more in common with regular people on the ground in Iran than people running the United States government, unless you are a billionaire or in parliament or in Congress. Not to say there aren't differences across the many places that people live, not to say that we do not experience privilege living here in many ways a lot of the time, but that we need to see ourselves in those people before we see ourselves in our government and think about how it would be for us if these sanctions were imposed on us. It's unimaginable to us.
So we came in last week, mm-hmm. On the heels of the No War on Iran mm-hmm. protest last Friday, put on by the Democratic Socialists of America mm-hmm. and their anti-imperialist work group. So shout out to them and thank you for calling it. It was very needed, and we were one of scores of cities across the country mm-hmm. and the world that turned out to say no war on Iran. And I just want to encourage people to keep their ear to the ground on that, because it's likely that there's going to be more sort of emergency actions to show up and to make our collective voice heard, because that was able to get press coverage. Mm-hmm. People were writing and talking about it. And when they make the tabulations globally, Portland will be one of the cities that gets represented in that. So thank you again to everybody who showed up last week to the No War on Iran protest, who supported it and will turn out next time. So just pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hope that as election season does get closer, and as time continues to pass, as it does in the world that we live in, that people continue to keep their pulse on what's going on internationally, whether or not, like, whoever is in office. And there might be a great opportunity for us to really go into this next presidency, whoever it is, with looking for these things and developing a stronger analysis of the actual function of the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that people are being primed for that, though it can be really hard when everything is so polarized in terms of how it's represented to us.
Yeah, the drums of war are going to
They will continue, no matter what.
Yeah, but it's mm-hmm. it's up to us to mm-hmm. uplift and show up mm-hmm. and support people who have a better understanding and mm-hmm. and who fight back, including, and this is like one of the last things that I just wanted to get your hot take mm-hmm. on.
My hot take.
Transport workers on strike in France just broke the record. Now the longest strike of its kind in French history.
Amazing.
Will maybe push their presidency out. They have done a good job of linking with other unions across the country, and with the Yellow Vest movement as well, popular movement of the people, not just in Paris either, but all over the country. And like 500,000 people poured out into the streets on Thursday to show their support for the unionized rail workers who strike against French President Emmanuel Macron and his attempted pension overhaul has now mm-hmm. become the longest transportation strike in French history. So this is an example for people all over the world who are fighting back to see mm-hmm. what's possible. Yes, it takes a lot of work, but it is possible. So, you know, people who really hate Trump can pay attention to that. That's a lever that you can pull to cause massive upheaval. And yes, of course, we have a legacy of some like meek, I would say, union leadership that doesn't mm-hmm. want to call to the floor people mm-hmm. in power, but it doesn't have to be that way.
No.
And I just wanted to like share that, because that's something that we hold up as a model.
It takes a lot of work, but none of it can work without us. So go on strike.
Oh yeah, that was one of the calls that came out at the rally.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
All right, baby.
Yeah, you're calling out. It was good. Even if it's not possible, like right now, like based on what we've got and how it's looking, it doesn't mean it's not possible. So, you gotta call on people to do it in order for it to even begin. So I'm very happy that that was called out, and that's what I have for this week.
Okay, and rewind back. You can't rewind. It's live radio. And remember the secrets of a successful organizer training that Alyssa mentioned
secrets of a successful organizer. Mark Brenner, Labor Notes, is going to be teaching Saturday, January 18th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Portland Association of Teachers. Rolling out, it's a 6-hour workshop with lunch on how to organize at your workplace and win.
Go to that. Yeah. Learn more about how to build the kind of struggles that we're talking about. Wow, what a multifaceted episode. We covered so much. Baddies, state-sanctioned violence, sanctions themselves, the war in Iran, and our coughs and our illnesses. So things are going well.
So thank you for everybody that did not change your dials hearing us coughing.
We knew you wouldn't. Oh, my God. Love us.
There might be people who are long gone that couldn't stand it anymore. So thanks to everybody that stuck around.
With you and I, there's always that risk. For the ones who stick around, y'all are the real baddies.
We're just risky women, period.
Some people are nasty women. We're risky women. And with that... Good night.
Good night. Thank you
Bye,
for
Alyssa.
Tuning in. Bye, Olivia. Oh, yeah. So good.
The Corvallis Daytime Drop-In Center wouldn't exist without the local folks who volunteer their time to help the homeless. In episode 4 of the 3rd season of Local Folks Podcast, we meet Tiana, Pete, and John to learn what they do, why they volunteer, and what they have learned about the homeless and themselves as a result. You can find Local Folks at kboo.fm. Go to audio, podcasts, and click on Local Folks.
KBOO Community Radio is working with Beautiful Portland to collect socks and blankets for those who are sleeping outside this winter. There is a collection box in the lobby of KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, between Burnside and Ankeny. Donations are accepted Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
KBOO Portland. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the KBOO Youth Randomonium. Today, we have a very special show. We have in studio Chloe Husky and Bijou Holiday. They're going to be playing some original songs that they both wrote together and separately, and we're going to talk about them as artists, and we have some questions for them so you can better get to know some local youth musicians. And that's what we're here for anyway. But before that, we'll play a couple songs we've selected for you as always. And that'll be in just about 15 seconds. Thank you.